Welcome to the MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church Tensions Podcast with Pastor Ricky Primrose, designed to help you navigate current issues as kingdom citizens. In each episode, Pastor Ricky will tackle a current topic or an event that creates tension within Christians who live in a world that is not our home. Written articles for each episode are available on our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org/tensions.
Well, I'm excited to welcome you to the latest edition of Tensions, which also happens to be the first edition of a new year of 2022. I had taken a few months off at the end of 2021, but I'm excited about resuming these conversations, and I look forward to discuss a number of important topics with you this year, topics that have the potential to create tension for Christians and for churches. Today's topic is called, Are We Drifting? A Subtle and Unexpected Danger for Theologically Conservative Christians. You know, the idea of drifting is frightening. It implies a slow and gradual movement away from a place of security, a movement that you do not realize is a problem until after you have already moved much further than what you originally realized or desired. Christians must constantly remain vigilant of drifting, whether that drift is spiritual in nature or moral or theological. And so Christians who maintain a high view of God's word are understandably and rightly, quite frankly, vigilant regarding what's oftentimes described as leftward theological drift within churches and within entire denominations. There is a regular cultural pull that tempts Christians to soften their beliefs on doctrines that the Bible speaks to very specifically and directly. For example, doctrines on hell or the exclusivity of Christ in salvation, or even the biblical vision for marriage and human sexuality, and a number of other topics that would be considered countercultural. Because drift of any kind is by definition subtle, vigilance is necessary. And typically conservative and theologically conservative Christians are particularly sensitive to leftward drift. We need to remember, however, that people can drift in more than one direction. Okay, in the same way that Christians can move away from truth by adopting liberal theology, we can also move away from truth by overcorrecting in the other direction. All right, this other direction, whatever you want to call it, can be just as damaging to the church and to the mission of God as liberal drift or leftward drift. At times, this other direction is described as a drift toward fundamentalism. Now, the word fundamentalism is a tricky one. It's a really difficult word to define. It's come to mean so many different things over the past 100 years, and it's frankly used in different ways by different people. And so my goal in this edition of Tensions, it's not to try to define fundamentalism, all right, and saying we need to avoid fundamentalism because it's just such a tricky word. Instead, my goal is to highlight some characteristics of what I believe to be an unhealthy drift that I fear is taking place within some circles of conservative evangelicalism, including local churches, as well as denominations, including the denomination that our church is affiliated with in the Southern Baptist Convention. So I've organized these characteristics under four primary headings. The headings include politics, cooperation, engagement, and conduct. And I want to just kind of talk through these four characteristics that we need to be careful not to drift toward as theologically conservative Christians. Let's start with that first category, the category of politics. Now, the characteristic that I fear some may be drifting toward, I would define that characteristic as alignment on political policies and partisanship becomes a requirement for partnership. Okay, let me say that again. Alignment on political policies or partisanship becomes a requirement for Christian local church partnership. Okay, that is the characteristic that I fear we may be drifting toward, and I think it's dangerous. 2016 and the presidency of Donald Trump rocked the evangelical world. It exposed that many churches and, frankly, many denominations were not nearly as unified as they previously believed that they were. You know, it's really easy to say that a church is unified by the gospel, but that claim is actually tested whenever people within that body begin to disagree and to disagree strongly on various political matters. So then the question becomes, what is it that really holds us together? Is it really our shared belief in doctrine, or is it actually our political alignments that hold us together? And if it is the latter, if it is our political alignments, what happens when our politics do not align? And a lot of churches were having to wrestle with these questions over the past, you know, couple of years. You know, one way theologically conservative Christians can drift is by elevating personal political positions and ideas to an unhealthy place in their heart. All right, now, let's be frank here. Conservative Christians generally agree that believers should indeed allow biblical precepts and wisdom to form their political views. In other words, we should think biblically about politics, okay? And because of that, conservative Christians almost always agree on some issues that exist within the political arena. Issues like, for example, abortion, and abortion being an evil institution within society. Another example would be marriage, and that marriage should only be defined in heterosexual terms, and there are some others. These are issues to which the Bible directly and explicitly speaks. And so there's a lot of agreement within conservative Christianity around those particular issues. We need to acknowledge, though, that there are a whole host of issues that the Bible does not directly or explicitly speak to. And this would include, for example, matters related to government spending, immigration policies and regulations, and various matters of foreign policy, just to name a few. Now, this is not to say, all right, that if the Bible doesn't speak directly to an issue, then we don't need to think biblically about that issue. We're not saying that. All of these issues are important, and we should, as Christians, we should attempt to faithfully think about them through the grid of a biblical worldview, applying biblical wisdom to all of our thinking as it relates to politics, okay? All we're simply saying here is that some of our political opinions are formed by Christians attempting to make wisdom-based judgments based upon, faithful application of biblical principles. And that being the case, it's very possible that Christians who possess very high views of God's word may at times come to different conclusions on some political issues. You take even an issue like abortion, which is an issue that conservative Christians almost universally agree is a social evil, and yet those same Christians may even on that issue disagree on the best strategy for fighting against abortion in society. You have, you know, differing views. You have, you know, abolitionist strategies versus incrementalist strategies. I'm just saying we should remember that in our political system in America, which is essentially a two-party system, right? There is no inherently righteous or inherently Christian political party. To the contrary, while a party, a political party, may have individually elected people who are indeed God-fearing, political parties themselves are human entities that seek to advance the agendas of that particular party, all right? So as current issues continue to test the unity of God's people, Christians and churches should continually evaluate their own requirements for partnership with other Christians, whether those requirements are spoken as a part of, you know, actual, you know, membership requirements or formal partnership requirements, or whether those requirements are actually unspoken. We have to be careful that we do not tie our faith to any political party. We must be careful that we do not elevate personal political convictions to the same plane as explicit gospel doctrines, such that we somehow make, and again, whether this is a spoken or an unspoken requirement, but we make political alignment a requirement for partnership and fellowship with other Christians. So it's a question that you might consider. Can you have robust Christian fellowship with a brother or sister in Christ with whom you disagree with politically, or with a spiritual sibling? Can you have robust Christian fellowship with a spiritual sibling who voted on the opposite ticket as you did? If you cannot, it may be important for you to scrutinize the true nature of your partnership and the standards and the requirements of partnership within the body of Christ. Is it truly a gospel partnership, or is it merely a spiritualized political partisanship? Guys, there is a constant danger for Christians to die on the hill of political parties and political issues that are not addressed directly in the scriptures. It's the tendency to make political alignment a requirement for Christian partnership. And I believe that this characteristic is both damaging to Christ's church as well as to the mission of God. It's a subtle drift that we as theologically conservative Christians must be vigilant to guard against, all right? Let's move to the second category, and I put this under the heading of cooperation. Conservative Christians have the danger of drifting toward the following characteristic: where cooperation with any person or group outside of one's own tribe is resisted and is considered a sign of compromise, all right? So this is the characteristic that really resists cooperation and sees cooperation with any person or group outside of your own tribe, whether that's a denomination or a theological tribe or whatever it might be, it's considered a sign of compromise. You know, another characteristic of this unhealthy drift is this resistance to cooperation. Those outside of my own group are considered enemies to be fought against. Okay, now these groups, these tribes, they may be political, as we discussed above. They may be denominational, anybody outside of my denominational tribe. They may even be theological. I've got a particular theological tradition or bent, and you know, anybody outside of that camp is considered, you know, an enemy to be fought. Of course, differing theology may, in some instances, rightfully limit the level and the type of cooperation that we can have with other Christians and churches. In a previous Tensions article that I wrote entitled Finding the Right Hill to Die On, I actually discussed a framework to help us consider the dynamic between doctrinal differences and cooperation, all right? So I acknowledge that differing theology can at times limit our cooperation. Nevertheless, it can be damaging both to the church and to the mission of God to drift to a place that requires a very high degree of alignment on a wide range of issues for any type of cooperation to be possible. Okay, so for example, can you participate in a prayer event or a worship event with Christians who have different beliefs than you do on baptism, for example, or maybe even on gender roles? Can you partner with other Christians in a citywide evangelistic campaign who have different views than you do on the miraculous spiritual gifts and whether or not they're still operative or whether they have ceased, or maybe different views on the age of the earth? Resistance to cooperation is typically offered in the name of holiness, right? Those who kind of want to separate and resist cooperation, it kind of goes under this guise of, well, we got to maintain holiness and purity. Purity requires, according to this mindset, absolute separation. But the problem is, in saying that, they're not talking about separation from, you know, ungodly qualities of the world, but even separation from other Christians who possess contrary convictions or beliefs that they consider to be too soft, okay? So this mindset tends to believe that one's own Christian tribe is the only true and pure expression of Christianity, and therefore to cooperate with Christians outside of one's own narrowly defined camp is considered a sign of compromise. Now, to be sure, there are indeed times when cooperation is not possible without genuine theological or spiritual compromise. However, Christians should be eager to pursue a cooperative spirit, seeking opportunities to partner rather than constantly policing other groups and churches looking for reasons to separate and isolate. That is what I believe an unhealthy drift that theologically conservative Christians are particularly susceptible to. We have to maintain a wise and yet a cooperative spirit. The third heading that I want to talk about is just that of engagement, and I would state the unhealthy characteristic this way: engaging society through organized acts of service or advocating for justice is considered a threat to the gospel. Okay, that's the characteristic that theologically conservative Christians may be prone to drift toward, that I think is actually pretty dangerous. So another quality of this potentially dangerous drift within evangelicalism is what I would describe as an overcorrection to the social gospel movement. Okay, this movement, which dates back to the turn of the 20th century, basically reduced the mission of the church to social reform, okay, and social improvement. It de-emphasized the necessity of gospel proclamation within the ministry of the church. Okay, so the call to faith, the call to repentance was replaced almost entirely with social advocacy and community service. So a correction was needed to the social gospel movement. But as is typically the case, you know, some Christians and some churches overcorrected, and the result was a withdrawal from any type of cultural engagement at all. A name that you've heard me use before is that of Carl F. H. Henry, who was a premier and perhaps the most significant theologian of the 20th century. And he addressed this overcorrection to the social gospel movement in what came to be a really important book published in 1947 called The Uneasy Conscience of Modern Fundamentalism. And in this book, Henry critiqued certain segments of evangelicalism for turning blind eyes to social injustices and ills of the day and for retreating from any type of engagement within broader social issues. Henry called some of the most conservative circles back to the biblical model of both declaring and displaying the gospel and the love and the justice of the kingdom of God within the world that we live. There remains a very high suspicion within some camps toward organized acts of service and or toward advocating for justice within society, okay? Now, while the motivation may very well be pure, motivated by a desire to preserve the necessity of gospel proclamation, I fear that these camps have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. Guys, listen, it is possible, indeed necessary, both to proclaim the gospel, calling a lost world to repentance and faith, and at the same time to demonstrate love to one's community through acts of service, whether that be, for example, ministering to poverty within a city, ministering to the abused, ministering in local school systems, or other ways, as well as demonstrating love to one's community by advocating for biblical justice within that community through systems of criminal justice, law enforcement, education, and even politics. Now, some would consider these types of efforts as a threat to the gospel rather than an implication of a kingdom people living out the gospel in the world they live. Okay, so Christians who engage in efforts related to gospel-centered racial reconciliation, for example, or other various types of social reform, are sometimes automatically labeled as quote-unquote woke or accused of liberal drift simply because they are engaging in these types of conversations. And guys, that's not fair. That is an overcorrection to a cultural trend and an ungodly cultural trend. To be sure, the church must prioritize the proclamation of the gospel. Faith comes by hearing the message of Christ. The mission of the church is to lead people to trust and follow Christ through gospel proclamation. And yet, living as a gospel people means also representing the values of our King to a place of our and within the place of our temporary residence, which includes the values of love, the value of compassion, and yes, the value of justice. This does not mean that our advocacy for justice or our displays of love should reflect that of the world's, okay? The world is always going to pervert love. The world is always going to pervert justice. And so the way in which Christians advocate for justice and display love, it's going to look different, distinct from the world, okay? Our righteousness, our love must be distinctively Christian, reflecting the kingdom of God. But Christians have to be careful that we don't drift away from social engagement. There is a place for healthy, godly, distinctively Christian social engagement, and we can't withdraw from society in that. The final heading that I want to talk to you about is that of conduct. The unhealthy characteristic, I would state it this way, matters of personal conscience are made moral absolutes, which define true spirituality. Okay, this final characteristic relates to personal codes of conduct. Of course, our God is holy, meaning that he is set apart from the ways of this world. And as his people, we too have to be holy. We're called to be holy. But what do Christians do with matters of personal conscience, areas of conduct that are not specifically addressed in the Bible? These questions, just to give you a few examples, these questions would include if and how Christians should participate in secular holidays like Halloween. Should Christians completely abstain from alcohol? What types of movies or other forms of entertainment are appropriate for Christians? These are questions of personal conscience that require wisdom-based judgments. Now, it would be wrong to suggest that every perspective on these types of questions are equally true and valid. Okay, just because the Bible doesn't speak directly to an issue does not mean that biblical wisdom and the law of love don't apply. However, Christians can drift into an unhealthy place where matters of personal conscience are made moral absolutes, such that those who differ from one's own, you know, convictions are outright condemned. Some Christians not only tend to see these types of questions as strictly black and white, but they also struggle with partnering with other Christians who have different convictions than they do. So similar on from our discussion above on cooperation, the mentality is, you know, how can we maintain our purity and avoid the slippery slope of compromise if we cooperate or if we partner with Christians who are okay with, and you can fill in the blank, with a matter of personal conscience. So the question here is not how one personally believes on a matter or particular matter of personal conscience, but how one feels about and relates to others with whom they disagree on matters of personal conscience. An unhealthy and unbiblical form of drift has occurred when the qualities of humility and liberty quickly become replaced with spiritual pride and rigidity. At MacArthur Boulevard, we are unapologetically conservative in our theology. We believe, for example, that the Bible is inspired by God. It is therefore inerrant and sufficient. We believe the Bible should shape our lives and our convictions, and that it provides boundaries for our partnerships. But with that said, we believe it is possible to drift in more than one direction, including in the direction of these four characteristics that I've described in this podcast. These are not characteristics that correspond to the gospel that we proclaim, nor do they reflect the qualities of the kingdom that we represent. We need to be careful that we don't subtly drift toward theological liberalism. Let's remain vigilant against that. And yet, we need to be equally careful that we do not subtly drift away from a biblical truth and practice in a different direction. Remember, our aim is not merely to be as conservative as possible. Okay, our aim is to be as biblical as possible. You will always find some people within the culture who are positioned either too far to the left of the Bible and others who may be positioned too far to the right of the Bible. Our aim should not be right or left, but to allow God's Word to set the standard. For those who do keep up with the denominational life of the Southern Baptist Convention, many of the issues mentioned in this podcast are, frankly, hot topics right now within the SBC. There are some within the convention who believe that the entities of the SBC, including SBC seminaries and the missionary boards, that they're drifting toward liberalism. Those with this evaluation would include, for example, a network that was formed within the SBC last year known as the Conservative Baptist Network, or the CBN. Guys, I do not believe that the CBN has depicted an accurate evaluation of SBC entities or leaders that they accuse of leftward drift. Further, I fear that both the tone and the rhetoric of this network is unnecessarily divisive and ultimately damaging to Great Commission partnership. I worry that while groups like the CBN and the leaders associated with it may articulate orthodox theology and convictions that we would agree with, that they are the ones, in fact, who are drifting towards some of the unbiblical characteristics that we've talked about here. As one who is fairly well plugged in with our SBC entities, I am confident that these entities remain committed to biblical truth as they are confessed within our convention's statement of faith, the Baptist faith and message. Guys, our aim is to be a gospel people, a people who keep politics subservient to the gospel, a people who are cooperative with other believers for the sake of the gospel, a people who engage the lost world by declaring and displaying the gospel, and a people who are careful not to make matters of personal conscience moral absolutes because of the gospel. We may not drift toward, or rather, may we not drift toward theological liberalism, nor may we drift toward any other direction. But instead, let us move toward Christ as revealed in the Scriptures, because He and He alone is the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank you for listening to the Tensions Podcast. For a written copy of this episode or for more information on MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church, please visit our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org.